This is LeSere Bradley Jr. welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour.
They tried my Lord.
They tried my Lord and Master.
Summer months are always particularly challenging in keeping up with expense, so if you can help us to keep the program on the air, we'll be certainly thankful for it. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. We continue today with the message entitled Peter's Denial from John chapter 18. It is indeed sad as we observe this man who had displayed such strength at other times caving in to his weakness in human nature and denying the Lord. But it is also encouraging to see his restoration. Back in the 18th chapter of John, Jesus had said, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me," see, he'd been asking them, he wanted to pull them out so that they had to plainly say what their purpose was in arriving, that they were seeking Jesus of Nazareth. So he says, "I'm he, I'm the one you're looking for. Let these go their way. Release my disciples." He wanted to give them opportunity to leave. He knew their weakness, he knew they couldn't stand. But Peter didn't take that opportunity. He followed the crowd. Basically, he walked into temptation. If he had departed as Jesus indicated that he should, the events would not have unfolded as they did. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Jesus has said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." But rather than praying that he might avoid temptation, rather than being careful that he doesn't walk into a place where temptation is obviously going to be there, he follows the crowd. He goes to the palace, the house of Annas, and there was a disciple there who was recognized and admitted right away. I'm amazed sometimes at how much space is taken up in commentaries for men to write about things they finally admit they don't know the answer to it. All kinds of speculation about who that other disciple was. Most come to the conclusion it is John, but some have long arguments as to why it couldn't have been John, had to be something else, but they all admit they don't know. So I'm not going to weary you with those discussions this morning and just say there was a disciple that wasn't identified. But then he comes to the door and asks that the doorkeeper, who happened to be a young lady, would open the door and let Peter in. And so Peter goes in. And of course, it was there that he was confronted and asked if he was not one of the followers. And so he's at the wrong place at the wrong time. And then we see ultimately he comes out, stands with the crowd, and he is warming himself by the enemy's fire. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Think of it. Where is Peter now? He's standing side by side with those who are the enemies of Jesus, those who are wanting to put him to death. It was cold. And I think there's a lesson in that for us. Sometimes when we become cold spiritually, we're looking for something to sustain us. We want to be warmed, but instead of going to the Lord to find the warmth of spirit that can only be found in Him, begin to find some warmth by the enemy's fire. You begin to look to the world. You begin to look to some of its entertainments. You begin to turn to some of its philosophies. You begin to want to fit in with others. But let me tell you, when you're standing with the enemy, warming yourself by the enemy's fire, you're in a dangerous place. Furthermore, he was controlled by the fear of man. It's interesting that in spite of all of his boldness, in spite of all of his courage, that the first person that asked him, "Are you not one of his followers?" wasn't a big, strong man who might have conquered him on the spot. It was a girl who was keeping the door. And Peter falls apart just when this girl asked him the question. Oh, no, no, no. In fact, they tell us that in the Greek, the question is phrased so that she was expecting a negative answer. But he caves in, said, "Oh, no, no, no. I'm not one of his followers." Well, Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Peter followed the pattern that's laid out for us in the first verse of Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That's exactly the path he took. He walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He was standing by the enemies of Christ, conversing with them. He stood with the enemy by the fire. He then ultimately sat in the seat of the scornful, denying the Lord, claiming that he did not know him. And so verse 18 tells us he stood with them. He was in bad company, and Peter couldn't afford to be there. I sometimes counsel with young people who obviously were traveling with the wrong crowd. They had friends that were a bad influence. And they would say something like this, "Well, I know, preacher, I've made some mistakes, and I'm willing to change, but I just tell you right now, I can't give up my friends." And I've told young people repeatedly, if you don't give up your friends that are having an evil influence on you, you won't give up your sinful habit. God's word is authoritative, and it plainly tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. Peter was easily provoked, easily led to rash actions. So he didn't need to be standing with this group of people. Where do you stand? Are you standing for the testimony, the truth of Jesus Christ? Or sometime are you standing with the culture of the day? You don't want to be looked on as a fanatic. You don't want to be criticized. You don't want to be looked down on. So you make some compromise. You enter into some activities that, you know, there's some question about it, but can't be all that bad. And before long, you're headed down the wrong path at a rapid speed. If you're standing with Jesus, then his priorities should be your priorities. And what was his was that he pleased the Father. Your priority should be that in every detail of life, whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we do all to the glory of God. Is that uppermost in your mind? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." His values should be your values. not those things that are esteemed in the world around you today. His teaching, his doctrine should be the teaching and doctrine that you embrace. Not listening to somebody who says, well, doesn't it seem fair if it was this way? Doesn't it seem right? Doesn't it seem more loving if we took another position here? No, we must take what he has taught. He stood with them, those who were the enemies of Jesus. Three denials. The girl at the door, verse 17. Those at the fire, verse 25. And then the kinsman of Marcus. Marcus was the man whose ear Peter had cut off. Now, it was one thing to deny to this girl at the door, I'm not one of his. Another thing to say it even to those men that were at the fire. But when one of them speaks up and says, I remember you back in the garden. This man, a relative of Marcus, the one who was injured by Peter, if this man is now going to be pointing out this is one of his followers, this is dangerous. But again, he denies his Lord. Maybe as we read this lesson, you're somewhat appalled. Say, how could it be that somebody who was so close to Jesus, somebody who saw his miracles, somebody who was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, somebody who made such bold confessions of his deity, how could it be that he denied him? But let me ask you, how often have you denied him? Maybe you never came out and vocally said, no, I'm not one of the followers of Jesus, but your conduct indicated it. The attitude that you maintained, some of the things that you said, some of the places you went, some of the things that you did, you were denying him. Have you denied him by not having love for him as the dominant factor in your life? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If somebody observed your life closely, they could see how you use your time, how you use your resources, the things you read, the things you look at, the places you go, whether or not you minister to other people and help other people. Would they identify you as one who follows Jesus, one who keeps his commandments? Or would they conclude that this is just a matter of a Sunday trip for you to go to church so that you can feel like I've discharged my duty, I've done what I need to do, and the rest of the time you forget about it? Have you denied him? As much as you think it's a dark scene, and indeed it is, for Peter, one of his close disciples, to deny him vocally, but you may deny him by the life you live on a regular basis. He denied him by promising, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to stand with you. I'm willing, if it means I've got to die for you, I'm willing to die. But he failed. He failed. Denied him when he failed to pray. You may have denied him. You say, I believe in prayer, but how often do you pray? How diligent are you in your prayer life? Do you seek the Lord daily, several times a day? Jesus spoke one parable and said, the purpose of this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. You can say, I believe in Jesus, I'm one of his followers, but if you don't talk to him, if you don't pray to him, you're denying him. What about time in his word? You say, I believe in him, then you ought to want to know what he said. You ought to want to know everything you can learn about his life. Hear his message. Read it again and again. Meditate upon it. Incorporate it into your life. Have you denied him by yielding to fleshly lusts which war against the soul? Sometimes people will try to defend certain activities by saying, well, it really doesn't hurt anybody else. If I'm looking at something on my own computer, I'm not bothering anybody. Does it really make any difference? It does. You look at evil, corrupt scenes, think it's not harming anybody else, think it's not harming you. fleshly lusts. He said, war against the soul. If you're looking at filthy material, if you're reading books that stir fleshly lust, and you become enslaved by it, it's a war against your soul. You may say, I'm not being affected. God's word says you are. It cuts off your communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ. It destroys your joy in the Lord. It prevents you from growing in grace. And your low, darkened spiritual state then has an impact on your family and on other people. Have you denied him? But then, thankfully, the story doesn't end with Peter's denial. The next thing we observe is his road to recovery. He recovered because Jesus had prayed for him. We go to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Reading in the 31st verse. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus prayed for him. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Peter failed. Ah, but Jesus prayed that your faith would not fail. And even though Peter sinned and his conduct was dreadful, he never denied that Jesus was the Christ. He did say for a moment, I go fishing. I go back to my former occupation because I have miserably failed. But Jesus had prayed for him. And let me tell you, if you are one of his, he has prayed for you. Isn't that a marvelous thing to consider? Any of us, when we've had sickness, we like to send word to the church, pray for me. And it's an encouragement to feel our brethren and sisters in Christ are praying for us. But think of having Jesus pray for you. That's exactly what he does. He is our intercessor, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he prays for us. In this same chapter, verse 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter, remembering the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The cock crowing was a call to repentance. Peter had just denied his Lord, and then he heard the cock crow, and the words came forcibly to him. I remember what Jesus had said, but it was a call to repentance. And the Lord looked at him. Can you imagine how he felt? This is Jesus. I've spent 3 years in his company. I've expressed to be one of his followers. I've said that I love him, and no doubt Peter did love him. But when Jesus looked at him, those penetrating eyes, that loving countenance must have broken his heart, and he went out and wept bitterly. His life had fallen apart. He felt hopeless. He was in the dark. Have you wept over some of your sins and failures? Have there not been times when you were awakened to the fact, I've been going down the wrong path. I've made some terrible decisions. I've dishonored the Lord. I've denied him by my conduct, by my thoughts. I've failed to truly follow him as I professed I was going to do. And as the Spirit of God convicted you, you were broken. You wept bitterly. There's a contrast then seen here between Peter and Judas. Peter wept and repented Judas experienced remorse, but he did not repent. It's one thing to be sorry because you got caught in some sinful activity. It's one thing to grieve over the consequences. It's another thing that your heart is broken because I've sinned against my Lord. And that brings about repentance. I'm turning. I'm not just weeping, but I'm repenting. I'm turning from it with the grace of God. I'm going to walk in another direction. You see, there's a difference between genuine repentance and just worldly sorrow. Paul deals with that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's crucial to recognize the difference because it's so easy for people to make the mistake and not see the difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. If the only sorrow you have because of your sin and your failure is just your personal embarrassment, or the fact that it's caused complications in your life, that works death. But if your grief, if your deep conviction over your sin, the tears that you shed are genuine evidences of repentance, that indeed is a blessing before God. The cock crowing was a call to repentance, and it was also the announcement of the beginning of a new day. The cock crowed when it was nearing time for the morning to dawn. And it was a time for a new day for Peter. In the last chapter of the Gospel of John, we find the account of Jesus restoring him. We'll not take time to read it all, but when you have opportunity, read John 21, verses 15 to 19. At this point, he's asking Peter, do you love me? And Peter's not so bold at this point. He just says, Lord, you know. He doesn't make any claims now because he has seen what a terrible failure he had been. In verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And Jesus was forgiving him and recommissioning him. And this same man who so miserably failed was then used of God on the day of Pentecost to preach one of the most powerful discourses on record. And 3,000 souls were converted. What about you today? Are you self-confident like Peter was early on? When you hear somebody else falling, do you kind of sit back with an attitude, well, doesn't surprise me about that person, but not me, not me. I tell you, every time you hear of somebody falling into sin, it ought to be an alarm set off. Lord, if it can happen to them, it can happen to me. It ought to cause great grief and never with a self-righteous attitude to look on like, well, I'm superior to that. What about some of you today? Are you warming yourself at the enemy's fire? You're trying to find satisfaction. You're trying to find something that's going to fill up that empty spot in your life. And you're turning to the world to find it. You're turning to entertainment and worldly pleasure and material possessions. Who knows what all. Warming yourself by the enemy's fire is a dangerous place to stand. Or would somebody here today have to say, preacher, I know based on what you've preached this morning, I've never said to somebody, I don't believe Jesus is the Savior, but I know I have denied him in many ways in my life. Maybe you've concluded that things can just never be right again. But remember the words of the psalmist, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the good news is that though Peter denied his Lord and though Peter failed, he was restored, he was forgiven, and he was still used in a mighty way to the glory of God. You may have failed miserably. You may have grieved over lost time, lost opportunities. Look back and say, time has passed. I can never recover it all. I might as well give up. I'm useless. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How beautiful to see that in this dark, dark hour, when the perfect Lamb of God is despised and rejected, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is bound, hauled before the authorities, illegally questioned, ultimately crucified. In this dark night, the bright stars are yet shining. And the fact that Jesus had prayed for his weak servant and ultimately restored him gives us comfort and hope to know that no matter where we may be today, there is no reason to throw up our hands in despair, but to come once more boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. While it is sad to read the account of Peter denying the Lord, there is much in it, much practical instruction for all of us. Be reminded of our own weakness, and also to be encouraged that if indeed I'm talking to someone today who has miserably failed, and you feel far off and wonder, would God still hear me? To see that Peter was restored, and it was evident that the Lord loved him. I hope that you will write us and let us know that you've listened to the program. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
In my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his good.